revisit a topic that we've discussed at least twice, maybe more, but I have new material. New material, always not trying to repeat what we learned before. And this week's parasha is parasha Yishlach. We have the inyan of Kivrei Tzadikim, Batamas Rochel, Batikover Bederech Efrosahi Beis Lochem, Vayatsev Yaakov Matseva Al Kivurasa. He erected a Matseva Kivurasa, he Matseves Kivuras Rochel Ar Hayoim. And this is Kever Rochel, we call Kever Rochel Ar Hayoim. Okay, so we have over here the first time in record where a person, we know that Sarah, when Sarah died, Avraham, he purchased the Ma'oras HaMachpelah. It doesn't say they built anything. He buried her in a cave. V'zehu. Doesn't say there was what. It doesn't say that anything, there was any elaborate structure built. Doesn't say he put stones. Doesn't say Matseva. Zero. Sarah was hidden away in a cave.
There's got to be a tzion, the kever.
Does it? Who says? The whole union of Chevron is an union of Hester.
It's
metamol
amazing.
It's metamol.
I want to walk on top of it. So
you have to pour sit. You have to pour lime.
Right.
You have to maybe make a tzion, just a marker that this is the place. But to go make it into a shrine.
Okay.
A shrine. This is something which is unique to this week's parasha. In fact, it's the first time we have such a thing. The very first time. What does Rashi say on this pasuk? Pasuk Yud Ches. Rashi says, where is that pasuk? Sorry, Vayatzev Yaakov pasuk Chaf. There is no Rashi. The Rashi's are in parashas later on when Yaakov tells Yosef, don't complain, don't have any complaints. Don't complain, have any complaints against me. I know that you have complaints. Why did I bury your mother on the road? Couldn't I at least bury your mother in the city, in Beis Lechem? Or take her somewhere with Bakavadik? I did it for a reason. And Rashi there quotes Chazal that when the time of the Churban Beis Hamikdash, Yaakov al Piruch HaKodesh, he saw there would be a Churban Bayis Rishon, and the Jews would be passing along that road, and they would come in contact with Kever Rachel. They would cry on her Kever. Rachel would go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and be mispal, and Hashem would say, Yesh Sochor Lufula Seich Kol Brahma Nishma Rachel Mevake Al Boneha and Veshavu Vanim Ligvulam. So therefore it was necessary for the future that Kever Rachel will be a very important element, very important ingredient in the ultimate geula of Klal Yisrael. And that's why it had to be the way it is. Now indirectly we learn about this idea of being mispalel kivrei tzadik. Now we'll tell you some ideas, so let me just throw out some new ideas. Idea number one. The truth is, the Sefer also says this as well, I'll tell you about the Sefer in a few moments, but there are only two Mekoros in Chazal, in early Chazal, the real Chazal, early Chazal, of an Inyan of being Mispalel at Kivrei Tzadikim. Because think about it, why should we be Mispalel at Kivrei Tzadikim? What's to it? A person leaves this world, Achamei Aviyashrim, the Neshama returns to Shemayim, the guf disintegrates, it turns into dust. Even the bones, eventually the skeleton, eventually after a period of time, it also turns into dust. So what's the purpose of coming to the kever of a person, even a tzaddik? What's the purpose? V'shavu ha'ofar el ha'adamah. No one worships earth. You have virgin soil. Does a person worship the virgin soil? Of course not. So when a person, acha meyav eshem, and his body disintegrates into dust, why should the person go and worship? Why should a person come and be mispalel at the presence of that dust? What's there to it? So, Enochanami, if not for the two Mekoros in Chazal, it would be illogical, it would probably fly against everything that we believe in, that a person should go and be mispalel at the kever. We're not people of hocus pocus. We're very practical. But Judaism is a very real, practical guide to life. We're not into tying red bands around our hands, even though there's a Mekor for that. We're not into segulas. These are nice things to do. These are nice. What?
I know there's a Makar for that.
There is a Makar. I found a Makar. Belska. I found
a Horaband.
What?
On a Horaband. That's what it's called.
Right. So there is a Makar for the red there. And there also a woman. There's another Makar. The only other school is a woman to wear a red gemstone when she's pregnant in order to prevent her from having a miscarriage. There's also an ancient Makar for that. But most other things have no Makaris. And again, it's, no one's complaining. These are nice things to do, but when that's not what Yad is all about. Yad is all about reality. And the way we perceive reality. And there's emuna in the neshama, emuna shalema, that the neshama returns to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and Olam HaEmes, is Din V'Cheshbon. But once the neshama leaves, the neshama is no longer here. So if not for the fact that we have two makaris in Chazal, it would really go against the grain of everything that we believe in, that a person should do anything in the cemetery, there should be any type of thing at all in a cemetery, that there should be any remnant. A person is buried. The Torah says, "Ki kavar yikberenu." The Torah demands to be burial. Cremation is 100% kineged kol Torah kula. There must be burial, but there should be matzevos. There should be. It should be a place where people come to be misfalel. Why? Think about it. It's not logical. Yeah.
Yeah, but is there like in the shul? Why the tevila in the shul is more acceptable than in your home? Because here is more people down. So next to a mitzvah of a tzaddik, a lot
okay,
of people
so we're coming,
come in.
Right, so we're coming to now, it's a secondary, so we have to now try to understand the reason behind it.
Uh-huh.
But if not for the fact, that only comes it's only secondary. If not for the fact that we have here this pasuk in Parashas Vayishlach that tells us that Yaakov Avinu went and he buried Rachel on the road, and later, which parashas is it?
What?
Miketz, when did Yaakov Avinu...
Vayechi.
Vayechi. And later on in Parashas Vayechi, Yaakov goes through the effort to explain to Yosef, the reason why I buried your mother on the road is because it's necessary. Klal Yisrael has to be mispalel at her kever, so that there will be a geula shlema, there will be a geula. If not for what it says in Parashas Vayechi, in Parashas Vayishlach, it goes against the logic of what we as people who are shomer Torah mitzvos would believe in. It's not. It's like the Dorishal. It's like oyvi yedoni. What are you coming over here to go and bring the dead back to life? The Torah clearly in many places says koisim kesamim. There's oyvi yedoni. There's nichush. There are many different forms of.
Kalev also did that. Right?
Oh, that's the second makar. There are many different forms. Over and over, the Torah in many different ways tells us stay away from the dead. Stay far, far away. Someone who is dead is mitame. It's tumas meis. Even if you go to kibbutz tzaddikim, you come back tame. You have to have par adumu water sprinkled upon if you go to kibbutz tzaddikim. It's not an ideal thing to do. So it's mamish kineged the Torah that there should be an inyan to go to a cemetery to be mispalel by the kever of a tzaddik or by the kever of anyone for that matter. The body has to be buried, but there are kavod. Okay, so there's a cemetery which is anonymous, and the bodies are buried there, covered, and the bodies disintegrate into earth, and the whole area is off limits. It's tami yikra the zehu, and the neshama goes to shemayim, and we have a muna shalema that the neshama is in shemayim, and the neshama will be tchias amesim. But to go to the cemetery, what's it all about? It's only because the Torah has taught us something which we would otherwise never ever imagine to be. No, there is an inyan of kivrei tzaddikim atziyun to have an oil or whatever all these things are over here in Parashat Vayishlach Vayechi, and the second makar is very good, is in Parashat Shelach. Parashat Shelach, when Yehoshua sent the meraglim, it says in Chazal that Kolev went at Chevroin, while all of the other meraglim, they were taking a tour of the whole Eretz Yisrael, they were doing other things. He went to Chevroin to be mispal, Rashi says, to be mispal by the Ma'aras Machpelah, Ka Yoshiacha Me, and he mispal Ka Yoshiacha Me Atzas Meraglim. That was the bracha of Yeshua. But he was mispal that he should not be affected by the Eitzah, by the council of the Meraglim. So we see that is the only other Makar. So Sach HaKol, we have a Makar for Ma'aras Machpelah from Kolib and Yifuneh, and a Makar for Kever Rachel from these two parashas. I just want to make an observation. Why do we go to Kiryat Sadiqim? So we learn from these two, all these two sources, for two very different reasons. In Kolei, it was preventive medicine. And in this week's parasha, we learn that you after the fact, when after Rachmanu Litzlan, when there is a tzara, so that's the time to go. There is a tzara, so now the Klal Yisrael, there's no greater tzara than being exiled. They were thrown out of Eretz Yisrael. There was no longer Beis HaMikdash. There could not be a greater tzara for Klal Yisrael than this. And where did they go to be mispalel? At Kever Rachel. So that is being mispalel after the fact. If this would be the only mikar, then l'chayra, there would be no inyan to go in good times. If everything Baruch Hashem is fine and good, and it's a yard site, or you have an opportunity, why should I go? Baruch Hashem, everything is okay. no emergencies. We don't want there to be emergencies, but there's no need to, why should I go and spend time going to Kever Rachel, going to Maris Machpelah? Why should I go? I might as well spend my time learning Torah. I might as well spend my time doing Gemilas Chasadim. There are a million things you can do to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Should I spend precious time traveling to a cemetery in order just to go to Kibbutz Tzadikim? If things are well, so let me go and do other mitzvahs which are demanding, Bikur Cholim, Hachmasas, the other things you can do. There's no... What?
Revelation. Kibrei Avos is one thing. Kibrei everybody else.
No, this Torah, there's no difference. The Chara, the Kibrei Avos, everyone has a... Everyone has is a tzaddik. Everyone, the amech kulam tzaddikim. When we say kivrei tzaddik, that means the major league. The major league. You go to the Maris Machpelah, you go to the Nevi'im, right. You go to Rabbi Akiva, and you go to a relative, to a parent, you go to a grandparent. It's the same idea. It's just more of your responsibility. But it's borrowing from the major league of the Nevi'im and the Tanoim and Amoraim v'chulu v'chulu. It's the same idea. So I just want to make this point. How do you know there's an inyan to go to the Kibrei Tzadikim? There is an inyan to go to the Kibrei Tzadikim, even when everything is good. Find the time that you learn from Kalev. When Kalev went to Maris Machpelah, everything was good. Everything was fine. The Meraglim did not yet issue a slanderous report. There was still Tzadikim. All the trouble started later. He went there as preventive medicine. Kalev ben Yefune went to Maris Machpelah the first moment they entered into Eretz Yisrael because he suspected there may be trouble, but there was no trouble yet. So you learn when you take the only two Mekoros in Chazal to teach you about Kivri Avos, it is interesting to take note that one Mekor teaches you that there is an inyan to go to Kivri Tzadikim Rachmana Litzlan Be'es Tzara when there is already a problem. A person needs a refu, a person has an issue that needs to be handled, to be dealt with, and you need Siyat Shmaya, so there's Kibrei Tzadikim, and then there's, you know, going to Kibrei Tzadikim, and Baruch Hashem, there is no Tzara, but it's a Refuah, Koidim HaMaka, Chazal said, Pershim Mispalel, before the Tzara. So therefore, and who do you learn that from? You learn that from Kalev. So the Torah is covering for us both grounds, both different ends of the spectrum of when it's Kedai to go to Kibrei Tzadikim. That is one idea. Keep in mind. Idea number two. There's a minute to put a stone. Okay, everyone should go to a cemetery, you go to visit a relative, or any. There's a minute if you can find a stone. Not so easy to find a stone. It's advisable, you know, you buy on Amazon, buy some stones. Have a packet of stones, so you come to the cemetery, you don't have to start digging or stealing someone else's stones. Rav Meir, what happens if you can't find a stone?
You put your head on it.
You just take a stone from someone else's scene, right? So what happens? So it's not so... what is this inus of putting a stone, a little stone, on a matzeva? So simply, on a very superficial level, the real inyan is only putting the first stone. Yatzev, Yaakov, matzeva. Matzeva means a stone. Al kivurasa. So every time you come to Beis HaKvaros, so you do it again. Nachamol. Oh, but there's already a massive stone. No, come on, you put another stone, another little stone. Okay, that is a very simple understanding. You are reenacting what Yaakov Avinu did. He was the first one, not Avraham. It doesn't say anywhere that Avraham put a stone on the kever of Sarah. It doesn't say that. Adarab, the whole union of Chevron is tamun, hidden. It's all meant to be concealed. Totally concealed, anonymous. You don't exist. Never had, totally hidden. Rabbi Wolfson has a beautiful, very beautiful mimer in his sefer, which someone took this one mimer from his sefer and he made it into a whole book. The relationship between Yerushalayim and Chevron. Yerushalayim is Gilui, revelation. Chevron is Hester, is hiddenness. There are people buried on the outskirts of Yerushalayim, Har Hazesim, Har Menuchos. These are neshamas of Gilui, revelation. Then there are neshamas that are buried in Chevron. This represents hatman, it means hiddenness. It's complete concealment. Two different ends of the spectrum. That's a different topic. But in any event, we have here, you can say that about Rachel, the Maris Machpelah, and Rachel as well. Because where was she buried? On the derech, the road, on the highway. Right? The highway is not a place where you want to be buried. It's too noisy. You're disturbing the dead. You're disturbing their sleep. cars are going by the whole day. I mean, Jackie Robinson. You know, what do the dead say about Jackie Robinson? Right? Yeah.
You now is a minhag not to bury by himself.
Yochid. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So it's interesting that she was buried. Derech. Derech is a place of activity. It's golui. It's a gilui. The Ma'aris Nachpela, the whole inn, it's a cave. A cave in and of itself means underground. No one knows about this. It's meant to be quiet. Doesn't say anywhere that Avraham Avinu, he put a stone on the kever of Sarah. Doesn't say anything about Yitzchak and Rivka. Doesn't say this. The first time you find a concept, an idea, putting a stone on the kever is by Rachel. And that coincides with the fact that she was buried on the Derech, which is a public place. So you see, there's an inn of gilui. So when we go, we all there in this generation, we're all there gilui. That's why every single kever must have a stone. And when you go to the cemetery, the minhag is to put a little stone to reenact the stone that was put on the grave of Rachel. Others want to say it's a kapara. Putting a stone on a kever is a way of being mevaza the mace. You ever hear this idea that when they give someone skila, so they throw stones. The person that he falls on, he falls down. And they from the roof, they throw them down and they throw stones. By putting a stone, it's a form of kapara. It's a bizarre idea to say such a thing, but every neshama in the Olam HaEmes always needs more kapara. And by putting a stone, you are somehow, somewhere, these are Kabbalistic ideas, you are reenacting skila. And when a person misas bezin has skila, it is an atonement for his neshama. So putting a stone, you're doing something to the neshama, which cleanses that neshama from sin, and now the neshama has a way to go higher and higher in the next world. Do I understand what this means? I have no clue what this means. Yeah.
There's no chiyuv for matzeva. So what do you do if you just pass a cave and...
What do you mean there's no chiyuv for matzeva? There's a chiyuv. There's a chiyuv for sashuch nirach. You're supposed to put a stone. You're supposed to put a stone. You are supposed to put a stone.
The only reason we put stones is Midrabanan said,
it's not just to mark off tumma. It's also to know where the person is. To know this is where you should be mispalo. There is it's a reenactment to some degree of Rachel Imenu Yaakov. He put a stone on her grave. Now I want to tell you a drush. I was once working with someone had to speak at a Hakama Samat Seva, and he asked me for an idea. So I told him it happened to be the Parashas Noach. So I told him an idea, and I want to share with you this short idea before we go further. And that is the first thing that we live in a world where everything becomes obsolete very quickly. If you have an old car, that's it. Comes a point in time, that's it. It's time to retire the car. The car is obsolete. There's new technology, there are new advances, fuel efficiency, safety, you name it. Everything has its time, and as time passes, things become obsolete. Computer, phone, we all know every so often, that's it, take the old, out with the old, time for the new. The old is outdated, it's antiquated. We have a tendency to do this to people as well. People working for a company, you're ready, it's time to retire. There are new, young, fresh blood we want to bring in, a lot cheaper. And you have your old ideas, you're not with the new generation. We like to, just like we retire objects, we like to retire people. Rahman and Slan.
We would know. Yeah.
What? We would know that. In this room, we don't know that. We don't know that. People are retired. That's a very problematic thing to do to a human being, is to say that you are antiquated, you're outdated, you don't belong anymore, you're not with the times. It's time for you to retire, or time for you to put you aside. That's not a nice thing. Let me ask you a question. What is the first object in the Torah? Everything in the Rav Chaim Volozhin, all the big Bali Musa, they teach us that the shoresh of everything is the first time it appears in the Torah. This is the shoresh, the mahus of what the object is, the concept, and there hafeich b'hafeich, you can find the entire shoresh. The first time a word appears in the Torah, study that pasuk. The context of that pasuk will teach you the essence of the word. The first time it appears, the first time the letter appears, study that letter in its context. And that's where you're going to find the essence of what the letter means. Where in the Torah is the first time we have something that was retired? Because you're just outdated. We're more advanced. We're more sophisticated. It's what this object is primitive relative to the new advance in society.
Noah.
The first thing in this world to be retired in the Torah was the stone. Was a stone in Evan. The Evan, there was a beautiful ceremony. They made a ceremony and they put the Evan, the stone, in a retirement facility. What do I mean? In the olden days, how do they build buildings? They built it with stone. They take big stones out of the ground, they dig up stones, they make a side, another stone, another stone, and we make a little building, a little hut. Beautiful, we have a beautiful structure. And then they came to Babel, and then there was an advancement in technology. Babel, there were no stones, it was swampland. So what did they do? We needed to have them port. They had to go get a wagon and go bring in, get a great expense, Amazon shipping, you know, the shipping freight costs, to bring it from other countries, to bring in stones to build buildings. They were very limited in what kind of structure they can build because every structure demanded that they import stone from somewhere else. And carrying stone is no easy task. So what did some chacham do? They discovered that we can make artificial stones. They can make levenos. They invented cement, and they had some type of some cement, and they took earth, mud, and mixed some other ingredients and mixed it, and they had what was called a levena. And the pasuk at the end of Parashas Noach says, "Vatehi ha-levena lohem lo-oven." The levena replaced the oven. The oven was retired. You are retired. Now it's time for the oven to go on their pension and collect social security, and we're going to bring in the new technology. We now have something more advanced. It's environmentally friendly, and it says all the milas, you name it, you can go darshan all you want. Vatehi halaveina lohem lo'oven. It's the first item in the Torah that was put in retirement. It was saying, we don't need you anymore, we're done. You are a relic of the past. We have a tendency, when we look at people who are older than us, to say, they are a relic of the past. They're not current, they're not up to date, they're not relevant in today's society. And certainly those who are gone, those who have died, they're certainly way, you know, they're from a different world. They don't relate to us a ki hu zeh. And if you take that attitude to its natural conclusion, why even bother going to the cemetery? These people, they're totally irrelevant to us because they're not there, they're not even alive. And if they were alive, they're not with the times. You go to a cemetery, you take a stone. A stone was the first thing to put in retirement. And you say, you're not retired. Just because you've left this world, just because you're in a new place, you're in a better place, just because you don't really relate to our generation, we take the stone and we use it as an object to give you covered. As if to say, in our eyes, you're not retired. You're not, if we had a choice between the Evan and the Levena, we want the Evan. We want the old-fashioned building materials. We're taking the first item that was rejected because it was antiquated, it's a relic of the past. We say, no, we're taking that out of retirement. And we're saying, this is the Dover Choshev Ad Me'od, and we use this as a symbol to give covet to the neshama that is no longer here, to show we appreciate you. And if you were alive, we would put you on a pedestal. We would appreciate who you are, and we would give you covet. Okay, this is a machshava drush of why we put a stone. Now, in this sefer, had I known, I would have probably spent the whole week on this. Okay, I actually had this a long time. I bought this a long time ago because it has a very nice chapter on the Kaisel HaMaravi. Okay, and I was very fascinated with the Kaisel HaMaravi. It's very nice, but in addition to the Kaisel HaMaravi, the bulk of this sefer is all about the Kivrei Tzadikim.
Was it by Stern?
No, this is not by Stern. This is not by this. I forgot who it's by. Let's see. Avraham Yeshaya Landau, Yerushalayim.
What's the name?
Avraham Yeshayahu Landau.
The name of the Savior.
The name of the Savior is Shaar Hashamayim. Toldois Hamakoymois Hakidoshim, Yerushalayim, Vihuda, Me'oitzaro Shel Rebbe Betzalel Landau. So this, I guess, is a grandson or a son, Avraham Yeshayahu Landau. He's obviously he's taking probably from his grandfather. And he put together here quite a collection about all the various kivarim. So let me just run through. We have 5 minutes. Let me just tell you over here. I marked off a number of things.
Sha'ar.
Sha'ar. Not Shari, Shar. Shar, no, whatever, not necessarily. Okay, Keve Rachel Imenu. So let me just share with you a few of the issues about Rachel Imenu. What? I want to have two, let's just run through a few very short things. First of all, when was the first big dilemma, big machlokes, when did Rachel die? When is the yarsa? When is the day to go to Kever Rachel? So there is a tradition that we don't know this directly. The only way we know when Rachel died is when Binyamin was born. There is an ancient legend of the birth dates of all of the Shvatim. Okay, that's what we have. We have this legend. Is the legend accurate? Who knows? Where does the legend come from? I have no idea. It says it somewhere. Someone's brought down somewhere. A legend, the actual birth dates of, not when they die. We don't know when they die. We do not know when the Shvatim died. But maybe we do. Some calendars, they do tell you. I don't know.
Yeah,
but
this safer they have it.
When they died?
Right, Yashua.
When they died?
Exactly how old everyone was.
And the day they died?
Yeah.
Reuven's,
I mean, it's not
whatever. We really don't know. But there is, it seems that the legend of when they were born is more accurate.
So they base it when they were born.
So the tzaddikim, they live out to the day, and that's a hard sell to say that about. So Chazal don't say that about, but this works to our advantage. It does not say anywhere in Chazal when Rachel died, but we do know that she died the same day that Binyamin was born, right? It says that the kash belidita, she died in childbirth. And if Binyamin was born in the legend, Binyamin was born on Yud Aleph Cheshvan, which was a long time ago, not that long ago, but it was a month ago. So if Binyamin was born on Yud Aleph Cheshvan, so the assumption is Rachel died, her yard site is Yud Aleph Cheshvan, and indeed today in Eretz Yisrael is a very big pilgrimage to go to Kever Rachel on Yud Aleph. There is a very big, that's what I read about this. There is a very big Indian to go on that day. It's swamped. Kever Rachel is swamped on Yud Aleph Cheshvan because of this tradition. What?
Yes,
no, Cheshvan. Yud Aleph Cheshvan. Maybe I said the wrong thing. Yud Aleph Cheshvan. Now, the problem with that, I remember once, is that later in Parshas Vayechi, the Mepharshim said, the old Kivras Eretz Lavoi Ephrasa. Yaakov said to Binyamin, I know you have a complaint against me. Why I did not bury your mother in Beis Lechem or take her to somewhere that's more chashuv? Why did I bury her on the road? And he said to him, and your complaint is correct because it was Beod Kivras Eretz. Now I don't have all the details in front of me, but the Mepharshim there say it was a beautiful spring day. If it was Cheshvan, it's the winter, it's already the beginning of the winter. So then you could say, listen, it was pouring rain, it was a snowstorm, there was this, there was that. You know, the weather was just impossible. I had no choice. I had to bury her on the road. Yaakov Avinu's Be'od Kivras, when the earth, and the Mepharshim, they say, you have to look, I don't remember. When the earth was like a Kivara, they take the word Kivras, they have to look at the Rishonim there on the Mikros Gedolos on the page. The Od Kivras Eretz Lavoi Efrasa, which simply means a short distance, but the Mepharshim dwell upon that word, and they read into that word is that the earth was dry, it was clean, it was easy to travel. It was no big deal to go a few more kilometers to reach a kosher place because it was the time of the year when the earth is easy to travel. It was spring. Now, as far as I know, the spring is not the time of Yud Aleph Cheshvan, which is in the fall. So this indeed is a very big problem, a very big contradiction, which comes to challenge the entire assumption that Binyamin was born on Yud Aleph Cheshvan. Now you'll say, but if you go online, you go to YouTube, you go to all the Jewish websites, you'll see that Yud Aleph Cheshvan is a very big holiday. When it says Kivras Aretz, it does not exactly work together. No, there are a lot of questions we have in Klal Yisrael to find. And another very important thing is why this very nice idea, you know, is that why did Yaakov Avinu bury her dafka on the road? So some of the commentators say it's because Beis Lechem is the chelik of Yehuda, and Yaakov wanted to bury her in the chelik of Binyamin. And Farshim said that Yaakov will be Ruach HaKodesh, that how the land would be divided, how the land would be divided in the times of the Bayi Yoshua, and he knew that this road would fall in the chelik of Binyamin, whereas Beis Lechem, the nearest city, is the chelik of Yehuda. And therefore, out of a covenant for Binyamin, since Binyamin was the one who was born at the death, at the time of Rachel's death, he wanted Rachel to be buried in the chelik of the land of her son Binyamin that was born because of her death. And therefore, that's why bedafka, another time why you bury the bedafka, besides the time of in the future they should be mistalal kiriyavas. Another time, the Rambam, the first time around, they give the reason why is because she died in childbirth, and there was a lot of blood. There's a lot of blood, there's a lot of trauma. And in the ancient time, they didn't have all these things. So to take her and in the condition that she was after she died in childbirth, and to bury her in Beis Lechem, even on a beautiful spring day, would not have been ideal, because the body was not in a good state because of the trauma of birth and dying in childbirth. And in order to preserve her body in the most dignified way, the ideal thing was to bury her locally. That's another time. Another time Chazal gives is because Yaakov Avinu was still running away from Esav. And because at this point he was still running from Esav, then the Arba Meos Ishimai, that was he already departed from Esav. But they were suspicious. Yaakov Avinu, he says, "You go, I'll catch up to you." It wasn't they didn't ever make peace. Yaakov Avinu, he was terrified of Esav. He met Esav. And they temporarily there was a truce. There was a ceasefire. It was a very delicate relationship. So if he's now going to take his wife and bury her in Beis Lechem in a cemetery and make a statement, it's my land. I'm the Bechor. I'm the Yerush. And Esav hears about this. It was very, very delicate. So Yaakov Avinu,
and Esav did fight over the kever of Yaakov. Ultimately.
He did fight right later on. So Therefore, this is a fascinating insight, as he cites here some of the Rishonim that say this, besides the famous reason we know, is that you have to remember it's Parash Vayishlach. And Parash Vayishlach is primarily all about the Pegisha, the Sakana of Yaakov, meaning Esav. Halacha, Biodenu, Esav, son of Yaakov. Yaakov was not willing to take chances with a dead body. That's a very powerful limud HaMusar. Because we live in a world today, we're Moser Nefesh many times for the wrong thing. You're Moser Nefesh, but sometimes, let's say they have this war. Dealing. Let's say the IDF. They want to retrieve a body. Let's say a soldier, Rachmana Litzlan, dies in battle. And now the question is: should the soldiers go back and retrieve the body? This is a very big dilemma in general. Every army grapples with this. So what do you do? No man left behind. Okay, you certainly don't leave a living soldier behind that's wounded. But let's say the soldier already died. And now the question is to go back and to retrieve his body. But by doing so, you're putting in jeopardy a whole group of people. Is it really the right thing? Al pi halacha? I know you'll tell me. Well, the morale of the people to come back with the body. Okay, yeah, no. Where do you draw? Where's the balance? Where is the balance of going, putting yourself in risk to retrieve the body of your comrade? It's a very difficult question. You have your precedent, according to these Rishonim, that the balance should be on the side of take care of yourself first. Don't get too carried away. The person died. The person will be buried. It's not ideal. It's not about derech kavod. You're not going to be able to visit him. But, there are living people with you. Yaakov Avinu was with Bilhah, Zilpah, Leah, his 11, 12 children. They have priority. The living have priority. Rachel already died. And therefore, he was not willing to put himself in sakana to take the body with him in the public, the pumbi, to bring her to Beis Lechem and to bury her derech kavod when Esav is watching his every step. That's a powerful limud hamusar, which is a little bit of a hadracha, at least to a religious army, to take that into account in the big equation of all the various factors of these types of very unfortunate and decisions. Okay, there's a lot more, but we have to stop here. Maybe some other time we'll pick up this.